Blog Talk Radio.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up. And they stay there, and they say yeah, and they stay there.
Cause all I do is win, all I do is win. Cause I'm a fucking winner. That's what I do, is I win, I win.
Oh, that just is awesome. Hey, welcome everybody to Jake Pentland's show. Joined with Jen. Eli will probably show up sooner or later. He's on JPT, or Jewish People's Time, as we call it. He'll stroll in whenever he's comfortable. We have a caller there, Miss M. Davis. How did she type her name? Did you do that, Jen?
No. Wow.
Oh, can you check
that?
That?
Is that Eli, maybe?
I don't know. Do you mind
checking
that? Blabber for a second. Sorry, we don't have a screener. Someday, if this takes off, we'll get a screener. That'll be one of the very first things we do here. Well, welcome back, everybody. We had a show last week in Hawaii, and the week before I had some family drama that I'll spare you from. But this week, we are back to normal. I just have a little bit of a cold, but otherwise... if you're tuning in for the first time, this will be more in conjunction with how a normal Jake Pentland show goes. But before we get started, I did listen to the show last week, which was actually one of my favorite shows, although usually when I like a show, it means that I talk through the entire time. Usually my fans' favorite shows are the ones where I don't talk as much for some reason. But last week was one of my favorite. And
great.
We had a caller named Carly, who many of you know from the chat room and from the cult, and she wasn't sure she was a virgin. We had a great talk. But anyway, I went back and listened to it. It was pretty brutal. And Jen especially, had a sort of a moment, epiphany I'll let her talk about. But first things first, I wanted to apologize to Carly. When I went back and listened to it, I realized, and then we'll get to our guests. I just want to clear this up before we go. The word retarded to me is like the word shit or fuck. It's just one of those words that just has multiple definitions. I'm sure there's classically retarded where, you know, you're mentally disabled. And then there's, of course, something's retarded. That show is retarded and whatnot. So I made the mistake as well as I think Jen did. I'll let her speak on her behalf. But I am not clear in my speech with using that word. And I found when we went back and we're talking about Carly, Carly can be a little slow on the uptake. You know, she's actually not retarded, but she can be a little slow at times. You know, doesn't catch things. So when I was psychoanalyzing Jen about why Carly bothered her, we started talking about Jen's issues with actual retarded people. Carly, for whatever reason, which again I'll let Jen explain, triggers that. So we made the natural leap getting into Jen's psyche, and I realized listening back that it sounded as if we were saying Carly was an actual retarded person, which I know Carly was upset about. Now, that was not my intention. So I just want to apologize to Carly first. I do not think you're retarded. And Jen, I don't know if you, I'm not going to make you apologize or anything, but did you hear the same thing when you listened back?
I didn't listen back. But no, I know she took the word retarded to heart.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I don't know her diagnosis. I really don't. But she is slow. But not retarded.
Right.
She's not retarded. But I really thought that she...
Oh, good, Eli's here. That's how
I really
Eli's
thought
here.
That it was retarded people that triggered me by her having to repeat things to her and be kind of in caregiver mode. But I really realized later, and it was weird, it took a week almost, like a couple days ago, where I was like, it's not that she's slow. It's that I think she kind of plays slow a little more than she is. And can do more than what she does, which is, it reminds me of my mom. My mom's a smart person, but just was weak growing up, and I had to take care of her, and I was the caregiver. And I want nothing to do with caring for people that can care for themselves. You know, I little children, I love. I take care of hurt people. I love take care of really retarded people, you know, like Down syndrome. I would love and take care of. But there's something about people that I'm like, you know what, you get this. Just shut the fuck up. You
gotcha.
Know, I... So that's more of what it was. It had more to do with my mom than retarded people, even though I do have a fear.
It always goes back to mother, doesn't it? I mean, everything always does.
It does. Everything goes back to mom and dad.
But real quick, and then we'll get into the show. I find that really fascinating that you reach that because, again, I'm very arrogant. So I'll say it without trying to sound arrogant. I'm not surprised by your discovery of that. You and I have had many conversations off the air. That was my initial thought of why Carly got under your skin. And I just want to say, real quick, this is the cult of Jake. This is what I'm trying to do, and this is what I talk about and why I fight with people on the right, on the left, good, bad, you name it, because everybody has their own sort of cult mentality, so to speak, and there's things that they don't even understand. Like, before Jen even thought about it, she just was mad at Carly and didn't question it. Now she realizes this is touching something closer to home, and it's not really Carly. It's an issue she has with her mother. And by doing that, that's what I'm talking about when I rail against doing drugs or meds. This is the work that's done. You sit in the quiet and you think about it. So I just wanted to point it out because a lot of people wonder the intentions of the show. So, Jen, I'm proud of you. You've earned a Jake cult point. You've come further.
Oh, thanks. That's what I work for.
Exactly. Eventually, you'll be as sound mentally as I am and spiritually. But that takes time. So I want to get right into the guests. Now that we've apologized to Carly for calling her retarded and worked out your mommy issues, I think it's time to move on to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. No, thank you. There is a group, two women, who, Jen, I'm not sure, is Miss M. Davis one of them? That's Kara, okay.
Yeah,
Kira.
That's Kira.
And the other one.
I don't know if Jennifer's on here today or not. I don't see her number. There's one number that needs to be screened.
Is that the 919 number?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to go live. Kira, are you there?
I am here, Jake. Hi.
Hi, Kira. Is Jen there?
She is driving home from an event. She said she was going to pull over and call in. That might be her that's
okay.
in your queue. I'm not sure.
She's live right now if she is. She might have her phone.
Yes.
Okay, that is. That's Jennifer. This is Jennifer Knight.
Okay, so you're both on. Okay. This is normal but for the show, by the way. Nothing ever.
Yeah.
In case you never listened. So, Jennifer Knight, I can use the full name, which I did. I hope I can use it because I already did.
No problem.
Is the executive director of The Real Feminist, which you can find. The website is therealfeminist.com. I follow them on Twitter as The Real Feminist. And Jennifer Knight's the executive director.
There's
and
no the, though, on their
There's
Twitter.
No what?
The. It's just Real Feminist.
The website is The Real Feminist.
The website is
No,
I'm
talking
feminist.
About Twitter.
The Twitter is Real Feminist.
That's confusing, ladies. Okay,
I know.
Real
I'll find it all in the chat room.
Yeah, you have to go with what you can get, you know. Some people take stuff. They jack your shit, so.
And Kira Davis is the managing editor of The Real Feminist, and they're both on the phone. The third person, Kelly Marr, she's not calling in, right?
No.
Is she gone? Did you guys cut her out of the...
No, she's not... She's not gone. She's just not available.
Because one of the things I've noticed is when, which we'll get into later in the show, when women work together, they tend to sort of eat each other and kill each other and kill off the weaker.
We're good so far. So far,
okay.
So good.
So far, everyone's still talking and friendly.
So far.
Okay, so
far.
It must be a new venture then.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get to it. So I found you guys, actually. Jen doesn't know this. I found you guys on Twitter. Eli, my best friend and the guy running the sound effects, broke into my Twitter one day. I'm a little bit more left-leaning than Eli. And to punish me, he made me follow right-wing redhead Pat Dollard, who blocked me about a week later, Dennis Prager, so on and so forth. So I found you guys through, you know, people that follow. And I actually found your message to be actually kind of fascinating and very much in line with a lot of things I've done on the air. So now that you've been introduced, I'll just ask you first, I guess I'll ask Jennifer first, since you're the executive director. How would you describe your organization or website? What is your purpose?
Okay, our purpose is to take back feminism, both the definition and kind of the spokesperson status from women who claim that their way is the only way to be a feminist. We've seen that women are mocked and derided for making choices in their own lives that differ from the party line. And we believe that the 19th Amendment and the 60s and 70s movement, that was all awesome and great and mostly successful in getting social and economic equality for women. But now that movement's been hijacked by a small slice of the population, and they center mostly on reproductive issues and being angry and bitter and trying to win this war against either win the war that they think is on women or win a war against men and kind of make it an adversarial situation instead of working together for society. So we're breaking away from that movement and trying to give a voice to what we think are the majority of women who embrace their femininity and their strength and have the brains to make their own choices for what's best in their life.
And more specifically, one issue which I do see in your bio is something I've talked about before. When you say you're derided, are you talking about from feminists, modern feminists?
Yes. Yeah.
And is one of the things they have an issue with the fact that you're choosing, I see in your bio that you choose to be a stay-at-home mother. Do you find, because my sister's a stay-at-home mother.
Mm-hmm.
She's a little more left-leaning
so
than you guys.
I stay home, too.
Yeah, and so is,
yeah. Okay, you both do. So,
and I do, too, yeah.
And you find that what you're saying is you've ran into it with some modern feminists who say that's not a proper decision, so to speak.
Not just that, but also that it's that we must not be very intelligent. And both Kara and I have college educations, and that it's somehow wasting that to stay at home with our children, or we should be out working and contributing. And personally, I've only stayed at home without working at all for a couple of years. Most of the time, I've worked from home, so both run a business at home and done all the stay-at-home mom stuff. But and that's still not seen. They think, oh, you're at home, you're not doing anything.
And
they don't really value what mothers are doing.
I hear that half the time, too, from women, not men as much. A lot of men kind of like it, I think.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
I hear it from a lot of women. You know, like, how can you do that? How can you handle, I can't listen to children talk all day. So, and I, too, have a degree and graduated and spent 7 years in college. But this is what this feels way more worthy of what I need to be doing on Earth right now.
Well, you know, my sister Jenny, who's a little bit more left-leaning than you two, she has been running this problem even on the left. She's a stay-at-home mom, and she has told me many times that most of her women friends that are, you know, progressive, feminist, whatever you want to call them, I call them feminazis, as I see you guys do too, which I love, that they sort of deride her for that too. And there seems to be a weird thing to me because from what I understand, and I've gotten a lot of trouble for it, the feminist movement is about equality, and it is about women having the same rights as men, and also the right to choose whatever they choose. If they do indeed decide to stay at home and be a stay-at-home mother, that is their right. That is their choice as a strong American woman. So I always have found that weird, that any sort of subgroup of feminism would have issue with that. And I thought it was just me that was running into it. So it was an interesting thing to see you guys deal with that, too.
Yeah, it's been it is an issue, and it's one of the things that I honestly, if I'm going to be honest with you, Jake, I used to be that person. Used to be the person who was like, the only reason a woman would stay at home to raise her kids is because she can't think of anything better to do with her life. Fast forward, I know, right? Fast forward 15 years later, I'm staying at home with my kids, and I'm realizing, oh, crap, this is actually a real job. Like, it's a lot harder. And so I agree with you. That's one of the things that makes me angry about the feminist movement being housed almost exclusively on the left, and the left kind of even parting from their traditional values, modernly speaking, to say, you know, oh, no, we don't approve of this at all, but we want all women to have a choice and be equal. Well, why doesn't my choice count too? Or even as far as reproductive rights are concerned, as far as abortion is concerned, you know, I'm staunchly pro-life now. I wasn't always, but I am now. And it's like, how come I can't have a place in your movement because I believe that that a baby is a child from, you know, conception? Where's my place in the feminist movement? Where's the place for women like me? It doesn't feel like very open, you know what I mean? It doesn't feel inviting.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume any movement, you know, you have solidarity for, you know, the basic thing you're struggling for or against or whatever. But people are still people. People still have different opinions when you get down to it. So I imagine every movement has subgroups and you know, different people that have different views, but they, you know, they bond together for the main movement. That's what makes a movement so powerful, in my opinion, is you have people from all walks of life, you know, together on this one thing. So I think it's a little weird. I don't think it's necessarily rare, but I think it's weird that this current incarnation, this current movement of modern feminism, is that's sort of crumbling in on itself. That's a normal thing where there'd be, you know, different opinions, but now it seems like those aren't welcome at all, which is bizarre to me.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I agree with you, Jake. I mean, there obviously people are going to have different points of view, especially at the Real Feminist. Although a lot of us there and who are working and writing at the site are pro-life. We're not all pro-life, you know.
Right.
So we're saying you still have a place here. We might disagree with you passionately on that issue, but there's still a place for you here. And I've interviewed, I have actually my own blog talk show as well, and I've interviewed feminists, on modern feminists on my show, and they've been, like, insistent that the movement is open and it's for all women and it's caring for all women. And I just don't think that's true. I think it's caring for all women who think a certain way, and then that's it. The rest of you can go screw yourself.
Exactly. And I find it interesting that you guys have been running into it with your own gender, so to speak, because I'll back you guys up. I doubt you listened to me a year and a half ago. But I came on the air, one of the first shows I ever did, and it's a little different premise than yours, but it's basically the same. It's just from the male perspective, which is, for me, so the same thing you guys did, the original amendments, the original feminist movement, equality, the vote, blah, 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 all wonderful things, progressive things that needed to happen. I actually believe women and men are equal. But what's happened is the feminist movement's been hijacked, as I said on the radio a year ago. And now it's not so much about bringing women up. It's really become bringing men down. And I've talked about, you know, the way in which men are treated, the way in which boys are treated, there is a lot of fear towards men in the modern movement. Of course, I was thrown off the air by my mother when I said that, and berated. So I think I proved my point after that show ended up on the internet. But long story short, the truth is that we can agree on, since we're completely on different sides of the spectrum politically,
yeah,
we can still come to the agreement that, you know, this is not about equality anymore. This is not about the vote and equal pay. It should be, but it's not. Now it's about separatism. And these women are separating themselves, not just from men, but other women that don't agree with their views. And no movement can survive in that kind of environment. That's just a recipe for disaster. It will eventually destroy itself. And I said again a year and a half ago, as someone who likes feminists and believes in the feminist movement, I'm offering help. I'm sitting here trying to tell you ladies, hey, back up, let's stop bashing men, stop bashing boys, stop saying everything is this and that, and let's just open the doors and get back to what's possible. And I have found that it's an impossible task to get these people to listen. That's all I wanted to say. Do you agree?
I think it's somewhat of a generational thing as well. You know, Kara and I are early 40s, late 30s, and I think a lot of what I've run into in Tampa and Charlotte recently is older women that cling to that, and still some of our generation as well. But I think that this generation, our generation and younger, are going to see exactly what you're seeing and want things to be more inclusive, want there to be more gathering all of our brains together to solve the problems that are still there, and that it's not just all about birth control or abortion, but it's about, like you said, like putting men down. I have three boys. I don't want them to grow up in a world where they're bashed for trying to play with guns or toy guns or the boy things that they do.
Yeah.
And it's also about there's still women being mistreated horribly in almost every other country besides ours.
Absolutely.
And about sexual trafficking and about, and still on in Hollywood, girls are still being shown from an early age using their body and their sexuality to get what they want. That's
right.
Not what we're trying to promote. So
I would
think
also,
that if the generation goes up, we'll be more inclusive.
So we're against human
just,
trafficking? I just want to be clear.
Yeah, just to be
okay,
clear, we are, yes. That's
okay, we can all agree on that.
We're going to be against that.
Yeah. Sorry,
okay, good.
I wasn't unclear on that.
Yeah,
we got to find what we agree with first. This is my philosophy. I want to bridge the gap. I really do.
Okay, we can bridge the gap on that one for sure.
Okay, so
like
we agree in no human slavery. Okay, good. So
I'd also like to point out before we go any further that Jen's the early 40s and I'm the late 30s.
Okay.
I knew that was the first thing you would say.
Of course. Very funny. Well, then, you know, let's just get into it. I do have to ask a question. You both are, I see conservative and
yes,
Republican. I saw on your Twitter, I think it was Jennifer's Twitter, the word libertarian, although I don't see
yes,
it on the realfeminist.com. So I do have to ask you a serious question. I know we were going to get here eventually. You guys are cool.
Okay.
I'm going to go into
Ready, go ahead.
So I'll ask Kara first. You're pro-life. If a woman walked in to join therealfeminist.com, as you said, and she was, you know, pro-choice, how is it that you guys what's the best way for you to deal with that? Is that something you just say, hey, we agree to disagree, or is this a debate that's open at one point, or is it something you guys just don't talk about? Because this is the main issue.
It is, right, and this is the thing. Why is this the only issue? Are there not other issues regarding women? I mean, even as a pro-life or someone who is staunchly pro-life, it's not the thing I think about every day. It's not the thing I'm worried about every day. It's not the thing that's on my mind when I'm going to pay for groceries or buy gas or taking my kids to school.
Right.
So why is that the only issue? But yet, the answer to your question is yes. You know, it's obviously this is a very controversial issue. We're always going to have differences. You're welcome to come and voice your differences, you know, with humor and respect. And I don't care if you want to get a little saucy with it. I mean, there's fun in that. That's
right.
Fine. You're welcome. The point is that are you willing to stand up for the things that are really affecting women instead of just making it a one-issue platform?
I mean, I understand your point, but this is the way in which, you know, politics work. This is a political issue. It's also a religious issue. And, you know, I've said this many times. This is my real core philosophy and why I say bridging the gap is I think people agree with each other on, like, 98% of things. And it's those 2% that is where we start to draw the line in the sand and say we're different. And the people that are in charge, whether they're political parties or religious parties or whatnot, they study this. They understand which topics divide people because that's how it works. If you came up and said, hey, I'm a Republican running for office, I pretty much agree with my Democratic partner, they're not going to have a debate in an election. They're both saying, hey, we're the same thing. So you have to find these issues. That's how you separate yourself from the pack. So even if you don't want to, they're going to come up is what I'm saying. And this is a kind of an issue that's a hot button issue. It always has been and it always will be. I mean, you're talking about human life. And I agree with you. It's not the main issue, but it is the most divisive.
Especially right now. It's huge right now because a lot has been changing.
And it's an election year. So, I mean, that's what you do when you're running. You know, Romney and Obama, their camps are both guilty of it. They're going to kick up the sand and they're going to get us infighting about it so that they can get half the vote and vice versa. It's just how it works. It's not even conspiracy theory or evil. I mean, it's smart tactics. It's just, you know, I think there's a way to have these discussions where it doesn't become political or religious, and I think that we can bridge that gap and understand each other. I just don't know how, as a pro-life woman in a feminist movement, how you do that if you want to bridge the gap. How would you do that with somebody that's coming in and saying, you know, I'm pro-choice, I had an abortion last night. You know, ooh, my stomach hurts, I just had an abortion. I mean, what do you say? I mean, it's a divisive issue, yes? I mean,
Yeah.
So how can we help that? Because when I told everyone I was going to have conservative feminists on my show, that's the 1,000 tweets I got. That's the private messages I got. Ask them how they can vote Republican with, you know, with the issues that the Republicans are fighting with birth control and abortion. How can they do it? And I think it's a legit question. So that's my question. Sorry, I talk a lot. That's my question.
Well, it's your show, so go for it.
Exactly. That's what I say.
Well, let me answer that, and then I'll let Jen chime in her thoughts. But here's the thing. It's how can I vote for Republicans knowing the, quote, war on women and what that does to women? First of all, I think this idea of a war on women is ridiculous. There's no Republican out there that's saying no Republican, because there's a lot of Republicans out there.
The legitimate rape comment.
Right.
I mean, there's assholes on both sides. I mean,
but,
let's just get that out there.
No, absolutely. Please, absolutely.
Right.
But the point is that we're not saying you shouldn't use birth control, or we're not saying you're evil because you want birth control. We're just saying, why do I have to pay for that? Or I'm pro-life. Why do my tax dollars have to go to support a procedure that I fundamentally, on levels of faith and politics and all of that, disagree with? Why can't I just make the choice with my money to not support it or to support it, and you do the same thing?
I think that's a great answer, and you should have that right. Again, that is your right. You cast a vote, and I said this. We did an abortion show, actually, and I had said, why should I pay for birth control? You know, condoms aren't covered for me. I don't get free condoms in the mail. Of course, I got, you know, destroyed on that. But I got to ask you more specifically, if a woman had an abortion and paid for it out of her own pocket, if it wasn't covered, if it didn't come out of your tax dollars, you're still going to have an issue with it. Is it something you just go, oh, well, to each their own, or are you going to be standing outside and picketing? Or, I mean, how do you handle that?
Think how much a welfare baby costs, though, compared also.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a good point. I mean, that's
Jennifer,
a good point.
do you want to take that?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I'm not going to be standing out there protesting. For me personally, I could never do that, but I don't judge. I know people that have had abortions, and I know that the emotional turmoil that it's caused them, and as long as, if I'm not paying for it, it's their choice. It's a legal procedure, that, you know, meaning that it's legal for someone to have an abortion, so there's no right or reason for me to say anything about it. It's their private life.
Right.
And as the libertarian, that's my philosophy on that.
That, by definition, is pro-choice. You understand?
Right,
that.
But you don't have a place in the pro-choice movement if you say
no.
that.
But I mean, that
that's
right.
The lie of the pro-choice movement. It is pro-choice, but you only have one choice in the pro-choice movement, and that is to be pro-abortion.
And I don't want any tax. I don't want federal dollars or any kind of government money going toward anyone's health care at all, since that's more of my core belief.
Right.
But especially toward that. To me, healthcare should just be between an individual and a company, providing them a contract for insurance, and governments we know are in that equation. So it's easy for me to walk away from those discussions because I don't have any dog in that fight.
Right.
But for me, I'm not a libertarian. Like Jen is a libertarian. Jennifer, I'm not.
I'm a small L libertarian. Let me make that clear. I'm not Libertarian Party.
Right.
Right. I'm a conservative. And to answer Jen's point about, you know, what a welfare baby will cost, I mean, again, it gets touchy because we're talking about the issue of life and when it starts.
Right.
But, and not to try to convince you, but just to let you know where I'm coming from as a pro-lifer,
right.
To me, that's a baby. So yes, I mean, obviously there are costs involved with babies, and obviously we have a huge problem with parents not parenting their children, and there's a lot of tragedy in this world, but I don't think it's up to us to decide whose life is going to be worth living before they even get a chance to live
right.
it.
Mine was in regards to paying for birth control. Like,
yeah.
How can we say we wouldn't pay for birth control and then let people get pregnant, which I know there's ways to control that. But, you know, how would we not pay for birth control, but we are going to pay for welfare children? You know, like, the cost, it doesn't make sense. Like,
well,
pay
imagine
for birth
both
control
Kira
so we don't
Jennifer.
Have a bunch of unwanted babies or abortions.
Well, I imagine both, I don't want to speak for you, but I imagine both Kira and Jennifer are probably not in love with the welfare program either. I mean, it's essentially the same thing. It's their tax dollars paying for how they feel is irresponsible behavior. And I honestly, got to be honest, I don't disagree with them on that.
It's just so hard when there's kids involved. Like, you know, talking
yeah.
about the drug testing with welfare, you know, I just asked my husband last night, like, how do you feel about them being drug tested? He said, yeah, and then they lose it. Well, now what about the kids? You know,
right.
What about the kids of these families? How do you
right.
make sure they're taking
and,
care
and
of?
I so agree with you, and you're right. I mean, I used to run a program back when I'm from Gary, Indiana, not originally, but I spent a good chunk of my married life there. I used to run an after-school program there. And I know, you know, you see the devastation in the communities, especially I'm black, and in the black community, I've seen the devastation that a welfare system has brought to our community. It hasn't helped. I used to think it was helping. When I got in the community and got my hands in it, I realized it was doing the opposite. So my thing is that while we do need some sort of a safety net, and I'm all for that, the safety net's become a hammock for a lot of people.
Right.
It's discouraged a lot of people from earning dignity, you know, from their dignity and earning. And so my response to that, my solution to that, is to let the government be involved in the helping of other people in charity as little as possible. You keep as much of your money as is possible, because we still have expenses for the government, you know. But
right.
you keep as much of your money as possible so that you can give your resources to help the people that you know need it the most directly, as opposed to sending your dollar to Washington, letting it get filtered through a million secretaries, a million administrators, and coming back to your own community at only 25 cents.
I mean, again, here's a really important thing. I'm going to back up for a second. Every program, we'll call it welfare, or even a political system like communism or capitalism, if you will, everything starts out making complete sense on paper, you know? It's when you get into the practice of man that things get lose track. And the welfare program is the same thing, but where it's, I agree with you, Kira, that it's a little off track, but at the same time, when you say, let us keep as much of our money so we'll do charity, I can tell you clearly that people that have a lot of money, some do give to charity, I'm not going to be generalization, but I think it's a lot to ask to rely on them to take care of other people, because traditionally somebody that has a lot of money doesn't keep a lot of money.
I'm not even talking about the people that have a lot of money. I'm just talking about people having more money. You don't have to be rich to help people.
Of course, of course.
And when I was running that program, some of our biggest donors were rich people who wouldn't necessarily have the time to get in the community and do the hard work that it takes and put in, you know, the time, but they cared, or maybe they wanted the tax write-up or what, for whatever reason. We depended on those people. If there weren't more of those people, we would have gone under, and that would have been a lot of kids that had gone with us.
Well, and it's not just the individual people that there's the charitable organizations, the different church organizations, the United Way, the different community organizations that can provide for people that don't have enough to get by. So, yeah, it's not just the individual that would, that could help.
Of course. I mean, it's such a fine line we're all walking here. I mean, that you can feel. I mean, we're all being adult here. I am reading the chat on Twitter. Not everyone's being adult.
You're reading the chat. Wow.
It's walking on a razor's edge a little bit, and we're all being good. You know, probably because we're on air. I mean, if we were in a room together, we'd probably all be punching each other. Let's be honest.
No, I wouldn't.
No, of course not.
No, I'm 8.5 months pregnant.
So I would. But anyway, it's you can just sort of feel reactions around in the air. If you can cut the tension with the knife a little bit, not between us, but just in general when these discussions are had. And I really think it's kind of by design. I think that the system is set up this way so that we can never really get to have these conversations because we're going to react so much. So in spirit of good debate, and since we're all adults, is it fair to say we would all be happy with some government assistance as long as the spending were reasonable, and also letting people make the decision on their own and not asking us to pay for irresponsible behavior out of our pockets? Would that be something that you think would make everybody on all sides happy? It would make me happy.
No, I don't think it would make everybody on all sides happy, because I think even on both sides there are people who, like, no, we want to make this law. You know, like when Susan G. Komen said they weren't going to contribute to Planned Parenthood anymore, and everyone went batshit crazy over it.
Right.
You know, and even the people on the left, the feminazis on the left, were like, oh, that's terrible. It's like they don't want people to just make their own choices. They want to legislate it. And I think especially this abortion issue, even for people like me, pro-life people like me, would be, like you say, Jake, a lot less controversial if people in each state were able to decide. Like in Britain, it's not so much a controversy anymore, except among religious groups who, of course, will always be, you know, out there picketing or acting for unborn life. It's not such a political hot button issue there because the people there voted on abortion and they voted to make it legal. We never really got that chance. And I feel like if we got that chance, no matter which way it tipped, that would take a lot of the tension out of the air.
I mean, it's so tough to say. That's a whole other show. I just think what you're going to have is you're going to have crazy left-wing radicals, and you're going to have the crazy right-wing Christian conservative right, and as long as those two sides are the loudest, which they really are, those of us that are reasonable, those of us that can have these kinds of conversations, we're not being heard. I mean, honestly, if you really think about it, this podcast, which is a lowly podcast, is one of the rare places where you can actually hear people on different opposing opinions talk reasonable. There isn't really much like this out there. And there really isn't. I mean, everything is, whether it's a cable news station or something, it's all about profit center. It's all about pushing a bias. And nobody really wants to have these conversations. That's the bigger issue. I really do think if it were states' rights, if it were up to people to vote, if it wasn't asked to be covered out of taxes, I don't think abortion would be that big of an issue for it or against it. Now, of course, you said there would always be the fringe radical people on the left and the right, but screw them. They're a small percentage, actually.
I would still support life, you know. I would still,
course.
But I just wouldn't be, like, all political about it.
Understood. And to me, that's what I'm saying. That's how I define pro-choice. It's not saying I agree with it. I'm not saying, hey, abortion's for everyone, let's go have an abortion party. It's more like, hey, if that's your right, that's your choice, that's your body, especially a conservative. This is the problem I have with Republicans and conservatives. They sit here and talk about small government and states' rights, but you at the same part, not you personally, but your party wants to legislate what people do with their bodies, which is the ultimate big government when you think about it. I mean, you're literally asking the government to decide what you do with your uterus. And I don't understand. I mean, it's a little hypocritical to me.
Well, Jennifer, you want to take this? You haven't piped in a bit, or
yeah, sorry, we talk a lot.
Oh, just hand me the really controversial one.
I don't know. Well, I'll take it.
Now, and I don't think that they, in my view, there's truth to what you're saying, Jake, because I see that too, on both sides that they want to legislate. They're intellectually dishonest because they want to legislate their kind of thing, but then they get all upset when the other side wants
Absolutely.
To do the same thing.
That's why I don't Republican.
And I don't see that they're trying to regulate what I'm trying to do with my uterus. I still see that I have full rights to do whatever I want to do with it. Mm-hmm. But I expect to pay for what I'm going to do with my uterus and don't expect to pay for anybody else's. And it goes down to that.
And philosophically, for me, I'm a little bit different from Jen in the respect that I do agree the government. This is why I'm against Obamacare. I don't think the government has any place in your healthcare decisions. But when we talk about the issue of abortion, you're talking about a choice what to do with your body, and I'm talking about the choice you make for somebody else's body. That's the body that's growing inside of you.
Right. And I understand that. But again, if
so
you are
I know
are
that
small,
that sounds contradictory, but when you
I mean,
put it that way, it's not actually contradictory.
I mean, honestly, it is a little contradictory. It just makes sense because you're talking about, you know, speaking for the voice that can't be heard, so I understand it. But it is contradictory because you're literally saying you want government to be involved in decisions what people do with their bodies. And then on the other hand, you're sitting there saying, you know, small government, states' rights. You know, let me keep my tax dollars, stay out of my house. It is a little contradictory. I understand.
It's not, because I don't want the government to have anything to do with the body of that little baby. What about that? What about that body? You know, I mean, it, unfortunately.
And I do agree with Kira there.
The way we have
I understand
baby
that. But,
is
you know, you can't vote until you're 18. You know what I mean?
But do you not have the right to have a voice, even if you can't vote? I mean, we were talking earlier about the children, and what about the children standing up for the children, and that's, you know, and what kind of lives they're going to have. So certainly they're important. They're going to be.
Of course. Different. Well, it depends. I mean, some people are just, you know, you look at them growing up, and you're like, God, I wish someone would have taken care of them a lot, a long time ago. I mean, we all feel that, right?
No comment.
All right, I have some. I've got. I can tell you a few right now. Anyone that likes the show Glee, I wish they were aborted. That's
oh,
all I'll say.
Okay. I might almost agree with you.
Wow. Okay, see now I'm bridging the gap. We've got some callers, ladies. I will warn you, my audience is crazy, lefty, gays, and feminazis. But I have the mute button. They don't give you respect. I will only turn them up louder. All right, I'm just kidding. Scott, you have a statement about sensitive situations. Are you in the air?
Well, if it wasn't for Kira, your conservative person, I would have never made it to your show. So, yay, Kira.
Oh.
Excited to have follow her on Facebook. I've turned a lot of people onto her stepping out and being something different. Well, really wanted a question. I came on, the first part I heard was talking about feminists and things like that, and it wasn't really what sparked it. It was just I started thinking about the thing about the bubble people live in.
Yes.
All of us come from a different bubble. I grew up in the Midwest. I've only known most families to be married. I expected everyone did that. Because I don't live in Chicago, where I'm following a gentleman who's African-American defender who tells me about every time someone gets killed there, I have no idea what that is like where he's living.
Right.
I don't know. And I'm not really, I mean, and though I'm, that concerns me, I also have to keep living my life and understanding I know what is healthy and what's working in my community and the people I live with and what I've known, but yet what he is seeing is so vastly different, and, you know, when he's not seeing support, I understand that, and I am sorry. I'm not putting anything down. It's just like it is so – people's bubbles are so different.
Yes.
I think that's the difficulty is people say, well, I'm conservative. I mean, I know that I must be conservative because I'm sitting here going, you know what, I actually have expectation levels of people.
Right.
I expect you to go take your free education and get it. I expect you to make good choices. I expect you to get an income and get your own check. And I believe there are widows and orphans and really sick people that along the way our churches need to help. But otherwise, I think a lot of people need to step up, and there's an expectation level that I grew up with going, we expect you to do these things.
Right.
And if you don't do them, why should someone else step up for you? And I think that's just part of that challenge. Something I'll just say real quick is the pro-choice side, and y'all can kind of banter this one. I thought about this a couple of years ago. Well, I'm pro-choice
right.
because you have a choice. If you choose to have sex, you're making a choice. I'm totally, you can have that choice,
right.
but you only get to make it one time. You can't have your second choice, which is if something happens because you made that first choice, you don't get your second choice. You've already made your choice. So I kind of go back on those and say, oh, I'm pro-choice too. You can either have sex or not have sex. It's your call. You can make the choice and the decision. You don't have to because you know there could be an outcome. So anyway,
absolutely. I think it's
I just kind of hear you all talking back and forth. Just there's some thoughts.
No, that's a great point, Scott. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
So much. God, I love my conservative callers. I need more conservative followers. They're so reasonable and awesome. It's a really good point.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things lost in the pro-choice debate, in my opinion, again, as someone a little more left-leaning, is that everyone sort of comes to the table going, hey, I got this baby. You know, how did I get here? What do I do? And it's a little weird because I've never gotten anyone pregnant. I will say that. I could be sterile. Who knows? But I've always been safe. And I even know things that most women don't even know, which I'm surprised by. For instance, if you're on birth control and you get prescribed antibiotics for a flu, it counteracts your birth control. I have a friend that got pregnant that was on birth control, didn't know that.
Yeah, I've got a lot of female friends.
Exactly.
And that's one of the things. I've never had an accidental pregnancy as well. But there's other circumstances like rape.
There's always exceptions to the rule, but you know we're talking in cases of rape or you know I mean like taking an
My
antibiotic.
My sister got pregnant. She swears on all three of them, on the shot, on birth control. I don't know.
Oh
if it,
wow!
It's still possible.
She was young too. Like you know, 20, 21, 22. So I was thinking, she probably didn't take it the same time of day. Something had to be off.
Well, when I was 15, I was having sex with my girlfriend, and you know. We had a condom, and I thought it'd be cool to use baby oil, you know, like lube it up, get it all ready. Plus, I just wanted to put it on, right? I was like, this will be cool.
TMI.
Now, I'm not going to get, but I'm like, hey, get the baby oil. And my girlfriend at the time was actually educated through Planned Parenthood, which is an awesome program for this very reason alone. She took the condom, blew it up, went in the sink, and dropped a dot of baby oil, and it exploded. It was like this things she had learned in Planned Parenthood. Baby oil destroys a condom. A lot of people don't know that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, see? So that's the tricky part. I understand
know that
Scott's
either.
Point.
Good to
yeah,
know.
See? But I would only
I
have
did.
Sex
that's
with
why
women.
I laughed when you said it.
Yeah, but it's absolutely true. And that's something that you do learn in Planned Parenthood. And one point from the left side, they don't teach sex ed in school anymore. My little brother, you know, Carly, who called last week.
I grew up in L.A. and I grew up in L.A. and I learned way TMI from my sex ed teacher. He told us, how to perform certain sex acts.
Yeah,
the
banana. No, but they don't do that anymore.
Yeah, really, he did.
You mean none of you knew that baby oil destroys the condom?
I did.
Oh,
I knew
okay.
it.
Right.
Well, most of you didn't. And that's the point, antibiotics. Like, you can still be safe, to Scott's point. Like, you do make that choice. You can still be safe and then still have a pregnancy. And at that point, you know, that's where I get a little iffy because if you're the most important thing is raising a child properly. I mean, we can see the world what happens when a kid isn't raised right. They turn out like Jen and they pick on retarded people. So it's really important when you have a kid that you raise them properly. So when I see a choice of a kid being brought up in an unhealthy situation, not even wanted, one of the parents is gone, to me it's not that horrible of an alternative. It's almost like a mercy killing, if you want to call
God.
It what it is.
Yes.
I know it sounds crazy, but seriously.
Yeah.
There are kids that are raised in the foster care system. There are
you
hundreds
just wait
of thousands
until he
of
tells
kids.
You how he really feels.
No, I don't hold back. There are kids that are in the foster system that will never have parents, that are not living a full life. And yeah, some of them might crawl out and get a job, and that's a great story. Everyone claps. But the rest of them don't. And
no,
there's a lot of those.
But I hear you. I do. And I share your horror at the lives that some people have to live. But my point is, why do we get to say who it is that gets to climb out of that sludge and who should just be killed out of mercy? I mean, most of the people who are great leaders, great performers, people who change the world, are people who have come from awful circumstances, and they do the most incredible things.
Of course.
It's those circumstances that make us who we are. Now, that doesn't mean I want people to go through that stuff, but it just means that I don't think, as difficult as the results are, as difficult as the consequences are for some people, I don't think the answer is killing them off before they get the chance to prove to us that they can be a productive member of society. I think the biggest thing is to address that issue on the other side, which is what I've tried to do with my life, which is to go find these kids, to mentor them, to support them with your finances, with your time. And there's a lot of people out there that do that. And I know I hear it from the left a lot, like, well, you Republicans only care about the baby when they're in the womb and you don't care about them afterwards. That's not true. There are many, many, many private charity organizations out there working hard every day for these kids, and I'd like for there to be more of us.
So just to clarify, we're not into human trafficking, and we're not into mercy killing children. Okay.
We're bridging that gap.
Okay, I'm bridging the gap. Look, we're making progress. I got another caller, Shannon. You're on the air. It's a man named Shannon, is that correct?
Yes, it's a man named Shannon.
Hey, helpful. Shannon, how are you doing? Is that like a boy named Sue kind of thing? Did your dad name you that so you get in fights?
It was hell growing up with that name, but the women love it.
Okay.
But it's Elf Boy. It's Elf Boy. You know who I am.
Oh,
Elf Boy.
Oh, he gave his real name.
Wow, Shannon.
Ooh, how secretive. No,
you sound like Buffalo Bill from Signs of the Lambs. You creep me out.
No, I'm sorry. It's not the voice.
Okay, go ahead.
This whole pro-life thing. You guys just talked about what I was going to talk about, all the children in foster care. Mm-hmm. How many of these children that this woman has saved with her anti-abortion has she adopted?
Are you talking to Kira?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay, Kira,
I have not adopted any.
You have not adopted any?
No, I have no adoption.
You'd much rather, most of these kids, as Jake was saying, are in, you know, end up being pretty much just nothing. They're mentally abused in these homes. They're sexually abused in these homes. You would rather have your tax dollars raise a whole bunch of basket cases, which is going to cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, as opposed to a $300 procedure.
You're talking mercy killing.
No, I would rather those children have the chance to be something. I value... I would rather those children be valued as people rather than killed off for some warped sense of compassion. The real compassion is grabbing these people when you see them, wherever they might be. They might just be in your family. Just because you're not adopting people or just because you're not in a system, in an organization, doesn't mean that you don't have the ability as an individual to reach out to one other individual, to mentor them, to lead them. You know, there's all kinds of ways that you can help people. These children have value even in their horrific circumstances, and they should be valued.
Course.
They do. Each human does have value. I agree with you wholeheartedly. But 90% of the time, they're put into abusive situations, and they don't even have a chance to a leg to stand on.
Then
not
let's
everybody
work harder
is
to make sure
minded.
That they have to end up in the foster system. Let's work harder to make sure that their life on the other end has options. Let's not kill them before they even get a chance.
I've got a solution, because that's what I'm all about. Here's what we're going to do. Ready? I'm going to save this country right here. Allow foster care adoptions to gay couples right now.
Absolutely.
They do in quite a few. They do here in California.
I mean, push it.
I know a lesbian couple that they've adopted four kids.
Yeah, and think about gay people. They don't have to go through all the surrogates and weird,
there's
you know,
really
like the jerking off in the Starbucks cup that we talked about a few weeks ago. Like, just go pick up a kid. Go to the foster care and pick up a kid. It should be.
Is there really places that they don't allow
gay adoption? Are you kidding?
No,
joking?
I mean for foster home children. Yeah, I'm not kidding.
Not in the government. I think the government. Not government agents.
It's very hard for gay people to walk into an adoption center and go, hey, we want a kid. I mean, that's
a
very
baby. A baby. I thought kids they can get, but babies.
That's
the other thing.
It's hard for anybody. The adoption system, especially when you're adopting through the government, through foster care, is extremely different. It's almost as messed up as our immigration system. Like, the red tape is ridiculous. Like, there's a place where we can all agree. Like, we need to reform that to make it easier for the people that do want to love these kids to get these kids and keep these kids.
I agree.
Yeah, and I would dispute the kind of the that these unwanted children are automatically going into foster homes. I think that babies are generally being adopted out because I have friends that have waited years and years and years and other friends that and have
well,
still not been able to adopt. Well, but I have friends that adopted two disabled babies and raised them. But I think the foster care problem is more when the kids are 3 or 4 years old and get taken out of a bad birth home.
Right.
And that all needs to be reformed to where, like, I think that we can all agree to where people can easily do that and where they terminate parental rights faster so that they can be in a more stable home. I think a lot of responsible people are put off by that system because they know they don't want to live with the kid for 2 or 3 years and then have the court give them back to their birth parents.
Yeah, it's terrifying. You don't want to get attached and have to give it up. That's like the end of Lassie or whatever, that movie, Rin Tin Tin.
Right,
terrible.
So I think that that's another bridging the gap moment that we could probably all agree on.
But you would be okay, ladies, my conservative ladies here, you would be okay of putting a little bit of tax money in a program if it was reformed and it was a program that you liked. You'd be okay with that, yes?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously I'm okay with taxes. I'm just not okay with the amount of taxes we pay and where all that money's going.
So that's another thing we agree on. Cut the spending.
Cut the spending, please.
But taxes are necessary, and foster care and government help is very helpful to kids that don't have a chance.
Absolutely.
You know, for every great story, here's some kid climbing out of the ghetto or foster care system. You know, again, that's why those are movies and stories, and you know, we all, like, clap when we meet those people in real life because it's rare. And for every one that does it, there's many that don't. And I'm okay with, you know, maybe not having a gold-plated microphone on my podcast if somebody has a home. And I think that's something we can all get behind as well.
Yeah, the government has a place to promote life, liberty, and happiness and protect that. And these kids that are in those bad situations, the kind of the child protective services and foster care, that's all necessary because those kids have no one else
absolutely
to protect them.
But they could have gay parents right now walk in and take them.
Yeah,
two
I would
for
much
one.
Rather... I have a lot of social conservatives in my family and I have that argument with them all the time. I would much rather have these children in a home with a gay couple that dotes on them and loves them and gives them everything that they need than be in a horrible foster home.
Okay,
absolutely.
So, we're against slavery, mercy killings, but we're okay with gay adoption.
You know what? I'm amending my slavery issue. I don't think we're disagreeing enough here. I am for slavery. I'm just proud to say it.
I mean, who is it? Especially if you're a Republican. I mean, that's cheap labor. That's how you maximize profits. I mean,
there
it's basic
go,
economics. Yeah. We've got another caller, Patty from Boston. God, there's so many callers today. I feel like a real show here. Patty, you're on the air.
Hi, Jake. How are you?
I'm good, dear. How are you?
Do you remember the last time I called into your show, I explained to you about my mother's gynecologist appointment.
Oh, yes,
that?
One of my favorite calls. She had to look at her mother's vagina, everybody.
Oh,
wow.
Favorite call. That was back on. That was one before
not,
I got
I
kicked
have,
off. Yeah, one of my favorite calls.
I haven't been right since, yeah.
Me neither.
I'm sorry. My mother, I'm telling you, she wanted to disown me. She goes, you call. I'm like, it's out in California, Mom. They don't even know we're in Boston. They don't know
no one
we
listens
are.
To
don't
the
worry.
Show anyway. Don't.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, nobody even likes Jake.
Exactly.
No, but I was calling in to tell you I wasn't going to yell at you, and then as I was listening, you were talking about kids in foster care. I'm actually a full-time student, being 43 years old, going back to school, and I have a fellow student of mine. She was in foster care all of her life. Her mom was murdered in front of her when she was 6 years old, and this girl is amazing. She has just the talent. She's a 4.0 student. She's almost going to be graduating top of her class. And, you know, I'm just listening to what you guys are talking about, and I don't know if that has any significance
to
what you're talking about.
It's possible. I mean,
but
it's,
I was just, you know, thinking of, and I'm doing the same thing you're trying to do, Jake. My mother's a baby boomer, you know. My mom has a vagina.
Oh,
yeah, and I'm trying to reverse the damage.
Yeah, there's a lot of damage they did, man. They did. I mean, you know, Thank you, Patty. I'm going to go off on a little tirade here for a second. You know, the thing about the baby boomers is I love them, but this one of the things that keeps coming up in this conversation on both sides, me and the feminist ladies, is that there is, and I've done this show 1,000 times, there is this weird thing called entitlement that seems to have gone from, you know, a one weird fat kid here and there that was entitled and a little bastard to pretty much the generation itself is entitled. I got this video yesterday, this girl that was going for a foul ball and this guy caught it over. He's 6'2", he caught it over, and she sat there and she threw a fit until the ref gave her a new ball. And, you know, it sounds harmless, and it ultimately is harmless at the baseball park, but that's a sign of a bigger problem. And this has now gone into government. This has now gone into legislation. You now have literally millions of people who feel that just because they're from America, like I thought it was a great call from Scott, actually, he said it, our caller earlier, that they don't even have to really do anything. They should literally, they're entitled. They should be taken care of. They think it's a right and not a privilege. All the things that are great about this country. And that's the baby boomers' fault. It really, honestly is. It's a trophy generation, and these kids are narcissistic, and nobody wants to work hard. That's really the big issue, and that's all, why it's getting worse. Thank you. Where's my applause, Eli?
Yeah, saving the applause. World again.
One. That's another. We can all agree on that, right?
Yeah, we can. Yeah. We can agree.
Thank you.
And I think as someone who was raised by baby boomers as well, one of the biggest tragedies of that generation for women specifically is this idea that you can have it all as a woman. And
right.
I think that has led to a lot of depression and a lot of stress and tension for modern women, because we figure, okay, we can have the family, we can have the high-power career, whatever that might be, we can have the husband or the wife, whatever you choose,
right.
You know, but, and we can do it all great. And the truth is, now that I'm a mother and somebody who has other responsibilities as well, there sometimes you are giving up of one to have more of the other. On the weeks I'm a blogger and I'm a radio host, and on the weeks I'm really concentrating on the news and politics and blogging, there's something missing from my life as a stay-at-home mom. On the weeks when I concentrate on being a great stay-at-home mom, I'm having to give up something on the work side. We can't have it all, and that's okay, you know? You can have a lot of something for a little while, and that's great too.
Yes, I mean, beautifully stated. Beautifully stated. You know, to me, I'm not a scientist, but I don't think, I know, believe it or not, I don't think it's a coincidence that the numbers of kids with diagnoses for autism or ADD, hyperactive disorder, depression, it's not a coincidence that started happening when parents, not just the mom, but the dad, when they started spending more time on work and less time actually articulating with the child. A lot of autistic kids just don't know how to talk because their parent is not interacting with them. They're not playing with blocks. They're not teaching them words. They hire a nanny because they want to have it all. And there's some, you know, nanny doesn't speak English, raising their kid for them. I see it all the time, especially here in L.A. And to me, I think it's really selfish for parents, when they do have a kid, for one parent to not stay home. Whether that's the mom or dad, I don't think really matters. But one parent should be around the kid all the time or as much as possible, because what happened was women went in the workforce. They should have chose to go in the workforce and not have a kid. It's one or the other. I really believe that. Unless you have a dad that's willing to stay home, then of course you can do it. But there should always be a parent at home, because the kids need to be interacted with. They're not dogs, you know. You don't just like
and you don't you don't think a nanny or something can...
It's not
a
substitute for your
parent.
No, and a kid knows that. That's the other thing. A kid knows that it's not wanted when your parents hire somebody to play with you. It's like the toy with Richard Pryor. Every kid knows that and feels it, whether you know it or not. I mean, I can
tell
you.
I didn't like child care. I was in child care my whole
life.
Well,
I mean, again,
and,
2 hours in
but,
a daycare I'm not talking about. I'm talking
no,
about.
Yeah, no, mine was after school care. But no,
yeah,
and my mom got to be home till I was 5, so that's good enough. But I didn't realize until just yesterday, when I was worrying about who was picking up my son, that I always walked home. I never had anybody pick me up. And how lucky my kids are that they have parents that get to pick them up. I'm not sad about it. I just was happy for my kids.
Yeah, I'm happy for your kids too, because you're a stay-at-home mom.
I am, and I will go back to work one day when they're in school. That's why I literally picked my career to be a school teacher so that I could have the same hours as my kids. That was my, at 20 years old, I knew I wanted to have summers
That's
off
cool.
with my kids, the same hours
cool.
as my kids. So I can kind of have both worlds that way.
You're so smart, Jen.
Well, speaking of kids, guys, I have football practice to get to.
I understand. We ran long. Okay. Well, I want to thank
you.
Do you both have to go? Because like, we can wrap this up.
I can stay a couple minutes. I'm sitting in a parking lot and got to go get my son from a friend's house.
Well, no, you know what? Again, there's nothing more important in the world than spending time with your children. So I'm going to let you both go. I just want to say it was a fantastic conversation. You know, I think we proved today that despite your politics or religion or differences, you can talk things out if you're reasonable. If you don't react like a psychopath, you can talk things out.
Well,
right.
You can be a feminist and have some conservative views as
yeah.
well. You don't have
Absolutely.
To be all left.
Thank
That's
you.
What we do at TheRealFeminist.com.
Wow, RealFeminist.com. Check it out. Once again, I am also pleased, like I said earlier, whenever I do talk to intelligent women, it's a real treat for me. So thank you. It happens very rarely, and I just want to thank you. From
the
bottom
of my
heart.
Is that a slam to your co-host? Wow.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was. But
no, Jen,
I know how
we
really feel.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun. Thanks so much for having
us. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, guys. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I think that was fascinating. I think the Cult of Jake is getting steam. We're bridging gaps. We're being honest about our emotional disorders, like Jen picking on Carly because of her mother. I mean, every day we're making progress as people, and really that's what it's all about. You can look in the mirror, and you can work on yourself and get better every day. Eventually, you will be as cool as I am. And that's the last message. I do see we have a special caller, and I do want to take this before we go. Xander, are you there? Xander. Well, the note I have is Xander is on hold for Jake for butt sex. So I'm very excited about this call.
That's
Xander
actually
is...
Eli right there. Xander
oh,
the...
sorry, Eli. Well, Xander, are you there? Eli
yeah,
also
yeah.
wants to have butt sex with me. That was
Xander
I think Eli wants
Skype.
To see some.
So we'll go from the feminists and children and ADD and all the beautiful stuff I just said to, so you want to have butt sex with me. Is that what this is about?
Not until I've met you. I don't do it over the phone or on the first date.
Well, do you have any comments for the show? I mean, we
always
talk...
good inducement.
You what?
Cash is always a good inducement.
Talk is an inducement?
No, cash, money.
Oh, yeah, no. I don't want to have butt sex, so there's nothing in it.
Well, there's no problem then, is there, really?
Well, I appreciate you calling. Do you have any questions before I wrap it up, or you just wanted to say?
Yeah, what are you doing tonight, and what time and what restaurant?
I will be with the Real Feminists at a pro-life rally. So I got
actually, on a serious note before you go, and I said this several times in the chat, it's actually good to kind of interact with people that, you know, we don't have to agree on everything all of the time, and it doesn't make any of us wrong.
Right. That is the Cult of Jake. That's what it is. I mean, literally, on any given moment, we could be talking to a psychopath, a murderer, a child abuser, someone who's on drugs, somebody who is messed up. I mean, it changes minute to minute. We've had them all on this show. And pretty much, I have to say, every show has ended with everyone getting along, and I'm really proud of that. I mean, if you can get along with crazy people, you can get along with anyone.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's hope that that spreads somewhat, because I think that that would make the world a whole better place.
Well, you are now an official member of the Jacob Cult, because you just said the magic words. That's the point.
Well, I want my T-shirt then, please.
You will. We'll get you Team Jake from Twilight. I mean, there's plenty, and I don't have to pay for it. But yeah, I mean, really, that's what we're doing here. Eli, you're very lucky to be my friend. I just want you to know that. Eli.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I am very lucky.
You are. That's so sweet. All right. I'm going to blabber if I don't get out of here. So, Eli, you're coming over? What?
Yeah, sure.
Are you playing video games?
We're gonna cook some steak. Do you want to go over news, or we're running way long? I mean, I'm feeling
No,
pretty
but
good.
I want to tell you my cute little Parker story.
Oh, okay. Let's end with
your
story. It's all about you always, whatever. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, if you would have listened, asshole, I just said it made me think of you, which is
well,
kind of disgusting. No, Parker had a hard time getting dropped off at soccer. He's crying. So I left and took Cooper to soccer, come back to my five-year-old, and he's still standing in a corner, not talking to anybody. And I'm watching because I didn't want him to cry again. And this little kid just keeps kicking dirt all over his soccer ball, standing next to Parker, just keeps pouring it on his soccer ball, kicking it at his soccer ball. Parker finally looks at the kid and says, "Stop it." And the little kid says, "I knew I'd get you to talk to me." It was so cute. I let the little boy kind of harass Parker, and it really worked out by me not butting in. So
that's adorable.
I thought it was
sweet. Had you been an overreactive, left-leaning feminazi, you probably would have got there and yelled at the kid and told him you were going to sue him and all that, and you would have missed out on a really beautiful moment,
but
right?
I think I might have said, hey, leave him alone, or he's just upset or something. There's something if Parker hadn't been upset already and I didn't want to, you know, bring it back up again by him seeing me. So I just stood back and watched. And that kid, it was just he knew he could get him to do it by messing with him, and
that's
it worked.
Story. I mean, again, you know, we're humans, and, you know, we have language and books and all that, but at the end of the day, we're still chimps, okay? And the laws of the jungle still apply to us. They really do. So sometimes kids just got to work it out. And a lot of times as parents, I'm not a parent. I do it with my cats, I guess. Sometimes we intervene too early, or we want to control the situation. And those moments is when you learn so much about life. And I do have to say, to all my left listeners, there's a lot of value in our conservative friends to listen to them. If you do listen to them, despite the fact that most of them elected George Bush, so they're kind of stupid, if you listen to them, they make a great point, which is it's up to you. This whole world out there is up to you. If you just work on it, if you work on yourself, if you work hard, you can have everything you want. I like that message, and I don't think they should be jumped on for it. You know, that's all I want to say.
Wow, winning.
And Eli, you need to be broken from the cult of Dennis Prager. I still have work to do. You're a little too far right. You need to meet me. But anyway, laws of the jungle apply, so we're anti-slavery, and I'm still pro-mercy killing children, but that's just me. I'm just going to walk out with that one. I think that's it. Anyone else got anything?
No, I'm good to go. We were going to talk a little bit about that killer, but we can do that next week because it's still going to be big in the news.
Yeah, I'm kind of exhausted and done with all of you. So I'm going to start playing my new outro music, and we're going to get out of here. All right, thanks, everybody.
The voice of a nation to soothe your frustration. The manly cure to this mental masturbation. I am the one, the dysfunctional son. My mama can't hide me.